Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu.
Welcome to Strike a Chord. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about performance and preparation, or preparation performance, how you want to, however you want to say it.
Performance prep. Prep performance.
Yeah. Things like that. How do you prep, Amla?
Oh, it's a big question too.
It is a big question.
I guess it depends. One, it depends on the gig, but something I do a lot, most of the music I'm currently doing, it's all for memory. So I have the music recorded or listening copies, and I'm listening to it. Yeah, I'm listening to it almost every day. Okay. Just trying to subconsciously get it in there.
And even before the gig?
Before the gig.
Like immediate before, or like...
Oh, you mean people, right before the gig?
Yeah, right before the gig. But some people put their headphones on and listen to what they're going to be playing before.
Depends. If I don't feel prepared enough, I'm going to listen to it before the gig.
Yeah,
otherwise, I don't need to. It's already in there. But yeah, I like to listen to the songs I need to have ready for memory. That's a big one. And I'm just practicing them in as many ways as I can. As I tend to do, this is kind of on how you practice your instrument in a way. I split it up into sections, and then I might do 15 minutes when I've got a little break, and then come back to it in the evening. So then there's time for it to process.
Yeah, and settle.
Yeah, and settle. Yeah. That's a glimpse of what I do.
Yeah. The way I see it, practice is one of the things that for me anyway. Making sure I've got the equipment ready as well,
equipment
beforehand.
Yeah.
Making sure I've got the right equipment that I'm going to take, because I think different gigs require different equipment, different setups. But I think with the music prep as well comes if you're playing with someone.
Yeah.
Or you're playing in a band, or in whether it's a duo or trio or whatever it is, I think there might be more to prepare. I think musically, as you mentioned, practice and practice with the group as much as you can, and sometimes it's not possible to practice as much as you want. But I think the practice is probably most important. You want to do a good job. Equipment that you take, and also making sure your transport
well.
Yeah. Like, I know that with some gigs in the past, I've had, some cars that have been somewhat unreliable.
Oh, no.
And you jump into the car and something's not right, and you feel that it's not right, and then on the way to the gig, it breaks down or something like that. You don't want that.
Ooh.
So that was when I was younger, younger and much more immature. But I think there's a lot of things to take away from the prep. So it's not just I don't think it's just a
guess I didn't even think of all those things. But when you think about it, I've got a gig in South Bank this week, and logistics. Even I'm deciding. Do I have time to catch a train there, or do I need to drive there?
You see? That's preparation. It's not just the playing of the gig. A lot of people think that the musician is there and appears there from nowhere. It's like
magically zaps themselves.
Yeah. Magically appears. There is preparation to get there. And I think getting there is not only the getting there on the day, it's getting there and preparing weeks or even months in advance. But speaking of practice, when you sit down and practice or rehearse, and when you rehearse on your own, what's the first thing that you do? What is it that you do? Do you do warm-ups, or do you go straight into the repertoire? What do you do?
I like to do warm-ups first, but again, it depends on time I have.
Yeah.
These days I find I have less time to practice, so I'm mostly listening to the songs, and I'm doing this thing where while I'm listening to the song, I'm metaphorically imagining myself playing the music. And I was doing that in the car. So I was driving, listening to the flamenco music that we're preparing.
Yeah.
And I was just, I probably shouldn't be doing this while I'm driving, but I'm managing to multitask and I can feel myself playing it on the violin or the flute.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very important. And even like top artists and top musicians and all that elite level, even they picture themselves on stage and picture themselves going through the repertoire.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like it's just so useful. I learned this. I think it was a book by James Morrison. He talked about how he dreamt about playing an instrument that he saw someone else play.
Okay.
And then he woke up with blisters because the brain actually.
Oh, really?
And I found that so fascinating.
Jeez, I didn't know about that.
No, it's a really good book. It's called Blowing My Own Trumpet, James Morrison, the Trumpeter.
Okay. Might need to have a read.
And he just basically says he hardly plays physically and he's doing a lot of mental practicing.
Okay.
And that kind of set him off on that movement of practicing here, because he's saying the body doesn't know the difference when your mind's actually practicing still.
Going through the same motions.
Yeah. So I find that so interesting.
That's a good point that you raised. It gets you into that into the zone.
Yeah, it really does.
You know, and you, to the point where you can feel the anxiety. And you can feel that you're on stage.
Yeah,
because I know I've done it too. And it's like, take a breath. You're not on stage yet. You know? But that's a really good point. That's a really good point. That's a really good preparation.
How do you go?
I do warm ups, but it depends on what I'm gonna be playing. I like to do warm ups that's related to the song that I'm gonna be playing.
Good point.
If I'm gonna be doing a warm-up, I'll pick a song that I'm going to be doing first, or pick a piece, and then I'll do the warm-ups related in that piece. Like there's a few runs that, you know, and you warm up to the piece via the runs that you're doing in the piece. So
help with the technical, and just
getting your mindset that you're going to be doing this piece. Like you're.
Yeah, I like that. I do that with pieces too, with scales mainly. If it's in a scale that I'm not used to, or sometimes I do a warm up using different, kind of like you, the rhythm that's going to link to the piece itself.
I think it's very important as well to not just like, it's good to practice your piece from end to end, right? Mm. But I think it's very important to target your problem areas.
Yeah, it's so important. Targeted practice.
Yeah.
Well, you tend to, I used to do this, you're not really taught how to practice a lot of the time.
It's not something you learn.
Unless you have a good teacher.
Well, yeah, exactly. And or speak to anyone from experience. That targeted practice really, I really use a lot these days, because look, life gets in the way. You don't have a lot of time for practice. So you want to target those problem areas and those specific areas. And I think even when you're practicing in a group or an ensemble, I think the most effective way is for everyone to do their homework, and then you come to rehearsals and you just pick the target areas where the problematic areas where you think, all right, this needs a bit of work done, or we don't understand that, someone doesn't understand this. So you go through that. You don't go through end to end, because if it's a long list of repertoire, you're going to need 4 days.
Yeah, so true. If you're just top and tailing everything the entire time,
it
just gets a bit,
And the other thing I suppose to throw into the mix of preparation, and this is, I think we've touched up on this as well in previous episodes, is the social media, where you need to prepare that as well. You need to prepare your people for what, you know, if they're going to come to your show, they're going to come to an event that you're hosting, or you know, or a gig that you're playing. First of all, you have to let them know that it's happening. Second of all, you have to prepare things to actually let them know of what sort of things you're going to be playing. You know, so you need to prepare a video, or you need to prepare, you know, a song, or you need to prepare something to give them a bit of a taste.
Yeah,
so that's thrown into the mix now.
It's so true. There's so many things to think about.
It's inundating at times.
Well, even you made me think of it earlier. The sound, like going to the venue, especially if you're running it yourself or doing it yourself, and seeing what equipment they have.
Yep, that's another thing, isn't it? The audio.
Looking at the audio.
Yeah.
Because that could make or break the evening. Oh, it
definitely can.
We've all experienced that.
That's so true. Definitely can. That's a good point that you brought up, and that's a very important point.
Yeah.
If you're not doing an acoustic gig where it's in a room with about 10 to 12 people or whatever it is, then and even then in the room, you have to make sure that the room is sufficient and people can hear you, even if you're doing an acoustic gig.
Yeah.
But that's such a good point. The audio and the sound check, I think, is another very important thing, which is linked to the audio, but not only seeing what sort of equipment they got, because they can have this whiz bang kit and all this latest technology, and then you're up on stage and it sounds like crap.
Yeah.
You know? It's happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Too many times. So that's another. And preparing, if there's an audio guy, having a chat with him.
Yeah.
Even that's pre-preparing.
Yeah, pre-preparing. And just even getting there on time, especially if you're with other musicians.
Yeah.
I don't want to say this, but I've noticed the issue. I mean, I've been late a couple of times, but I try and get there really early. Yeah,
same.
And I've noticed when I'm performing in groups that some people can rock up. I mean, 10 minutes is a long time, especially if there's a sound check.
So true. So true. You've hit on another thing there. I'm always conscious of the fact that I need to be there early, and I need just because if something happens, if your car breaks down or you take a wrong turn or you know, another musician calls, say, I can't get there, and you have to go pick them up or whatever the reason might be, you have to allow a bit of time for that. And I think when you get there early, you set up early and you're more relaxed.
Yeah. It can affect, it really I remember I was running late. This was for a recent gig. I thought I was at the right venue, got there early, and I was at a different venue. Oh,
really?
With a similar name.
Oh,
and
geez.
Yeah, so that already set me off. I had to catch myself. I was quite nervous, and this was a morning sound check. The event was in the evening.
Jeez.
Then I just from like doing that little error, it really plays with your nerves.
Sure does. And that's where you get your anxiety and say, oh, what if now, you know, I haven't got time to set up. And to me, the first thing in my head is I'm going to be a hindrance to the rest of the people.
That's exactly what I thought.
Of the group.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even the sound guys and everyone that's organizing, you know, that. And I've done that a couple of times in my life, and it wasn't a very good feeling. So therefore, I'm really diligent on getting there. Even if I'm there an hour early, look, I'll set up and do whatever I want. I'll have a coffee and just relax.
Exactly. Relax, you know? And just chill. I had a nursing home
gig
today.
That's right. Yeah.
And I had to prep. I realized that because it's my own equipment, I had to bring all my own equipment. Cater to the fact that the logistics of getting a trolley and moving all my gear into the space and setting it up, and if there's a PowerPoint, like all these little.
Correct.
So I got there super early too.
Yeah, and not only that, is there a way of getting in? Because sometimes, you know, you have to go through the back or through a goods lift or through this or through that, and that takes time.
It really adds on.
It does, because you know you go, oh yeah, my gig starts for example, at 5, oh, yeah, I just got one guitar and an amp. I'll get that at 4:30, I'll be fine. And you get there and you know where the place is. You've gone to the right place, but now you have to go through the rigmarole of probably just going through another entrance, signing in or this or that.
You're signing in, sometimes you're waiting for a long time.
Exactly. Sometimes you need to do an induction.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is the preparation. This is something that's very important, because if you get there, and you're signing and you've just made it and you've plugged in, quick sound check and starting to play, your nerves are going to be up here.
You know, you haven't had that time to just ground yourself to feel more zen before the gig.
Yeah, and that first thing is that first note that you play, people are going to be watching. So it's very important to get there early, have some time, you know, to get there.
That's a big one, I feel.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one. But even getting back to the equipment, making sure that your equipment works.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you think a lead's working. I bring spares. I just bring spares.
Same. I even bring a microphone. I don't even sing. I don't even usually sing, but I just bring a microphone and leads as well. So just in case, because sometimes someone, you know, says, oh, have you got a microphone? Just want to say something, a quick speech.
Yep.
and you say, nah, I don't really take a microphone. It's like, it doesn't sound good. So, yeah, I've got a mic, whatever I've got, you plug it
that's
in.
That's professional.
Oh,
geez.
There you go. You're fully equipped. Well, you know, and that just gives that, you know, professionalism to the person that's hiring you.
Such a good point. And I didn't even think about that point. But even today, I had my microphone and they wanted to use it to talk. So it did happen.
Yeah. So it does happen. Yeah. I think being prepared, being professional, and being professional means being prepared. You know, sometimes you can overlook all of that and you think, you know, I'm just going to go and do the gig. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's when, that's Murphy's Law when everything goes wrong.
Well, sometimes I wonder if I'm trying to be better at this, the last minute gigs. You know, sometimes you may get called for a last minute performance.
Yeah.
And then you maybe fail to check all of the logistics.
Jeez, that's a good point.
Yeah. And
that's
a good point. And then you arrive there and then you're like, oops, I forgot this. And then you need to just, but yeah, even for those gigs, I think it's so important to little things like where it is.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like the venue, the location.
So true. Yeah. So true. And I think if you're, you know, if you're playing with another person, I think the communication there, you know, just sometimes I either send a message or a call just to say, how's everything going?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm stuck and then, you know, people's minds do wander and they're so busy and trying to get to the destination. If they're running late, they don't call because they're so focused on driving.
Don't call, such a good point. Yeah,
but maybe they can't.
Maybe, exactly.
And that's why I just, courtesy call, you know, very up to this, that. And my point is not to make them panic ever more.
Yeah.
So don't worry, when you get here, you get here, you know. If need be, if you've got people there already, you can make a start without them. Just say, look, we can do that. When you get here. Because if you give them more of a panic, God forbid something should happen on the road or something like that. So, I think it's a very important topic.
So many things to think about.
Not only the practicing, right? Yeah. It's not like, you need to practice in your repertoire and who you're playing with. And also if you're playing from charts, don't forget your book. Don't forget your charts.
Oh, I did that in one of my recitals.
Oh, did you? On your recital?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I forgot the chart for the double bass player.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
And what were the repercussions?
I think maybe I blocked it out because it was so traumatic. All I remember from that were the three examiners looking at me, but we were preparing the next piece. We'd finish the other piece and then the double bass player saying to me, oh, do you have the music? And then I just went, and then I disappeared for a while. And I don't remember. I must have had the music because we did play it, but I think it took me quite a few minutes to.
Yeah, it's the doubt in your head that's saying, do I?
Do I?
Hang on.
And everything takes twice as long because you're in panic mode.
That's right. That's why now I actually prepare if I'm doing like a bigger gig and I have to provide all that stuff, a day or two before, I'll make sure that I got everything and I've actually make a list on my phone now and it's a checklist. Check this, check.
Checklist, great idea.
Yeah. I make sure that I've done that, check. Done that, check. You know, everything. And the things where you've got a bit of room for error. So if things don't work out, a day or two before you got more time.
Yeah.
You haven't got time an hour before the gig.
No.
So, yeah, I think it's very important, the preparation for a gig and you play better when you're prepared.
Yeah, then you're not thinking about all the logistical stuff. You can actually just go on stage and focus on the music.
Yeah. 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 It's very important that you're prepared and your sound is right.
Yeah.
You play better when your sound is right. If you've got a crap sound, you're probably not going to be able to produce the sound that you want, obviously, because it's crap, but your mind's going to be on that sound all the time. It's like, geez, I can't play now because this sound is crap. And this is crap. It's very important to get out of that cycle. And I used to do this being a younger musician and, you know, a bit of ego and I want my sound to be perfect and stuff like that. I'm not going to play otherwise, you know, it's that sort of mentality. But as you grow older, you get more mature. But it's sort of like, it's good to have that sound and it's good to have great sound, but you know what? If the sound is a bit crappy, well, you just got to push on and make do with what you have and make the best of it. Don't delve into that and don't sort of like, you know, don't hold your mind onto that, what must sound is crap and stuff like that. I think it's very important to snap out of that buzz, as I say.
And just play the gig.
Just play the gig.
And enjoy it
as much as you can.
It's so true. I've actually done that recently. But, you know, or if you don't know what it sounds like and you're starting to fret, you're going, oh, I can't really hear myself here. How's it sounding out there? Yeah. And then you get lost in your own thoughts while you're playing.
Yeah.
And that's not great either because then you're not actually present in the performance.
In the performance.
And people know. But it can happen so quickly, so it's so important to really just be there and just really enjoy the experience. I mean, like you said, and the sound is such an important point.
Very important.
Doesn't sound right, you've just got to go with it. It is what it is, and just enjoy it. And even if the sound's not great, the audience will still enjoy it if you enjoy it.
Yeah. Do you know what I found at one of the gigs a few years ago? I had a really crappy sound on stage and monitors weren't right and something wasn't right. And I'm playing and people are listening, they're enjoying themselves. And at the end, like they've the applause is there, anything like that. And I just asked the people, I go, how's my sound out there? How's your sound? How's the sound, you know, like out there sort of, can you hear me? Like, can you hear the people on stage?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, it's great. And then your mindset changes.
Yeah.
So it's good for them.
Yeah.
So it should be good for you. Mm. So yeah, you can't hear certain things, but you can see that they're enjoying it. They're having a pretty good time. So, I'll have one person yell, "Oh, you can't hear drums," or "You can't hear this." Yeah. And then it becomes sort of like a joke thing. So,
yeah.
You know, and you become more relaxed, or the tension's sort of like fallen.
It's another good point. I've actually taken a note. I forget sometimes, but I think if you do it in a casual way, it's good to ask how the sound is.
Definitely.
And I find with my looper, like I'm looping a lot. I mean, not a lot. Like when I'm looping, I'm looping a lot. I don't know where that came from.
Came from looping a lot.
When I'm looping, I don't know what the levels are like because each channel.
Yeah.
And after I do a first song and then I just go, how's the sound? Does anything need to?
You did that at the last gig at Full of Blight when you said this first song's going to be a bit of an experiment.
Yeah, but then I forgot to ask how the sound was.
But that's fine. You've already notified the people and, you know, that's what your expectation is now. Like, this is going to be like an experimental thing. So don't fret over the sound too much. And then you get into this.
Just relax a bit more.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think being relaxed as much as you can is so important.
So important, and like you said, the preparation is just essential. Yeah. All those little, there's so many little things. So many. And we've probably missed another 10 things.
Look, we're all gonna miss things. We're all human, right? But sometimes it's good to, if you have another person in the band or someone that can help you with that stuff.
Even just assign people to do different things, especially if there's more of you, you may as well.
That's probably the best thing you can do. I don't do that.
Me neither, but.
I don't do that nearly as enough. But I think if you're in a band situation, I think.
Share the load.
Yeah. Yeah, because it can become, quite stressful for one person, and they become inundated with these tasks and these things. Oh, did you forget this? Oh, you forgot that, or you forgot that. Then you start playing the blame game, you know. Oh, it's his fault, or it's her fault, or whatever. But I think, there's a lot of nuances to performing and to performing live. And I think as you grow older, you get more experience. And then, you know, it depends on the type of venue.
Yeah, the type of venue can really affect the
type of room, the type of venue.
Well, if you can visit it before, especially if you're organizing the gig,
definitely
you need to go there and test out the sound.
Yeah, because if you see a venue that's on that border of really high professional, and you know it's like heading towards that where everything is like set up and everything like that, and you come in with something that doesn't work, or, you know, your amp doesn't work, or this or that, and then you're relying on people to, I mean, it's not a very good look.
No.
It's not a very professional look in any venue, but when you get to that sort of thing, it's like people can be a bit blasé about it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think when you get to the venue, it's very important that you adhere to what they have.
Yeah.
You know, then they're not going to perform miracles for you. But whatever you can prepare more for, you'll benefit from it. You know,
it'll help by finessing the flow.
Finessing the flow. Yeah, you need to finesse the flow.
To enable all these logistics and preps.
Yeah. And you know what I find is when you finesse the flow and you've got your things prepared and, you know, you've even got time to help out someone else, the venue managers like it. The audio guy loves it, right? And you're going to benefit from it because you're relaxed. You're going to be playing better. And you know that the people around that are in the venue and they're going to do the best possible job they can for you.
So true. Yeah. Good connection. Yeah. Good relationships.
Good relationships.
And then they'll so call true. You back too.
Yeah, of
they'll
course.
They'll call you back.
Like I know they've got as hard of a job as we have. I know we've got a hard job because we're there in front of people, but they're there making our job easier. So therefore, you know, and you know, especially the audio guys, like,
oh, what a job. I feel so sorry for them.
I feel for them sometimes. And sometimes, look, not every audio guy is fit for every gig. So this is one thing that I do want to clarify. But everyone learns and everyone develops. So that's why you got to have a bit of a relationship and a bit of chat with these people just to see what the expectation is.
Yeah.
What their expectation of you is and what your expectation of them is. Even the venue management as well.
Yep.
Like,
so true.
You know, like some management just say, yeah, here, there's a stage, go for it.
Do what you will.
Yeah. Whereas some management say, oh, look, you know, this is the stage, but this is your green room, and this is this, and this, you've got coffee, you've got things. Yeah? There's different, you know, different levels, right? And I suppose that's character of the people, but you got to come across as that person as well.
We got to respect them. And
of course.
Well, even with the sound guy, just little things like some of them, like you said, some may not be or may not understand, say, how to mic a violin or because they might be used to a particular types of bands and instruments.
That's right.
So it's good for them to know what they're going to mic up.
Definitely.
I feel like that's a big one too.
That's a big one, especially if you've got a violin and a flute like you have. These are instruments that are not your regular type of everyday gig instruments.
No, and they generally get lost in the bigger bands in the mix. Yeah.
And I think that's a very good point because it depends on what instrument you play.
Yeah.
And then how your preparation is.
Yes.
So do you yourself have a microphone or a pickup system or anything that you've got on your instrument that will make things easier for the audio guy? You know?
This is something I'm working on. I do have a microphone that I use, but I need a better pickup system.
Yeah. So this is, again, the preparation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's still back into the preparation. I think those people who expect to go to a gig and have everything there for them set up and have the mics and everything like that, and they just come with the instrument, I think they're lying to themselves a little bit because these days it's you need to work with people, not, you know, sort of make it more complicated for them. If you don't know and you're going out for the first time at a gig or something like that and you don't know, that's genuine. You don't know. You don't know what to take. But if you haven't got that agreement with the venue and the audio guys beforehand, then, you need to take your stuff. Even if you've got the agreement, I still take this.
I'll take extra things. Sometimes I bring an amp in and just leave it in the car in case if we need fallback. Maybe I shouldn't leave it in the car.
Yeah,
but
don't tell people that. Just in case I know which car it is. But you're right. I mean, leave something, you know, bring something or, you know, if you don't use it, you don't use it. But if you need to use it and you don't have it.
Oh, that's worse. Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Even just little things, like I've forgotten an extension lead before and no one had it in the venue. So then I had to change the position I was performing in order to be near the PowerPoint. All those tiny things can make a...
So that all makes a difference. Those tiny things, those little things, those things that add up at the end.
Yeah.
I think the more prepared you are, the better you're going to play, the better outcome there's going to be. And then at the end, you can have a drink, you know, just say, all right, it's all gone well. It's gone as well as it could go. And then you're a happier person afterwards.
Oh, it's so true.
Whereas if you go there and you're not prepared and you're late or whatever and you're stressing, your whole night is going to be like that.
And then at the end, you're going to feel a bit deflated, perhaps. Yeah, definitely. Disappointed.
Definitely.
I love
the
checklist idea though. Like, even do you have like a template?
No, you know, it's on my phone.
Yeah.
I use on my notes.
Yeah.
I use like little checklist. So I was wondering
if you like printed.
No. Template. It's on my phone. I do everything pretty much on the phone.
Yeah.
And it's all in my notes, and there's little like checklists, like a shopping list. Bang, yeah. Bang, 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 bang. And then you just check it off as you complete things. And that helps me with my daily scheduling, which is another episode. But yeah, I don't want to get into that. But yeah, it's like, you know, like a shopping list. All right, you've bought that, you've done that, you've done that, you've done that, you've done that. And you know, if anything else comes up, you add it.
Yeah.
You know? And it just saves you running around like a madman.
Oh yeah, like the day before on the day.
Yeah, on the day. I think that is probably the best thing you can do. Prepare for your gigs, whether it's practice 40-50%, getting your equipment ready, social media, letting people know. That's all preparation now.
Yeah.
It's all preparation. Like it's a big thing now. It takes me like 2 days to get prepared for if I'm going to be doing a concert, you know, because have to make sure, has everyone got the set list? Has everyone got the venue address? Has everyone, you know,
even attire? Yeah, what you're going to wear?
That's a good one.
Because sometimes you don't tell your band members, or you forget, and then everyone's
footy shorts. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that before. Not footy shorts, but just really too casual really for the casual, venue. Really casual.
Yeah, sandals and socks.
Oh yeah.
that's a good thing that you brought up. I think. That's a very important thing, the attire.
If you want to make an impression as well. People are looking at you before you perform. Yeah. They're gonna judge you.
Yeah.
I mean, we do this. We just judge people from.
We do. We do. That's how we are. But that's so true. So true.
Yeah.
I think, and it depends on where you play to the attire. Yeah. If you're doing an outdoor festival, you can go a bit casual. If you're doing a corporate gig, well, you're gonna have to dress for it. You know, and you're going to have to sometimes you probably need to have a contract ready, because some of the agents or some people that would like to sign a contract on for the night and on the amount that you're going to be paid.
Yes.
Right. Yep. And then you probably need to prepare for that as well. Like, have you got a contract drawn out, and, you know, in the contract there's a state that you're going to be there an hour before.
Yeah.
For preparation, for sound check or for audio check. Or if someone else has given it to you as part of the gig, have you signed it? Is that done?
Oh, it's so true. And like you said, the induction and all that. You just made me think of something else. Some of them ask for public liability insurance as well.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So you want to check with certain gigs that.
So true.
And public even liability tag insurance. And test.
Yes, they, tag and test.
Yeah.
See, it's all in that bucket, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so big. The bucket is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you just need to be on top of it, because you need to run your music career as a business.
Yeah, you have to these days. We're doing everything now. Yeah.
And then you got things after the gig as well. Invoicing, this, that, probably follow-ups, you know. It's a big thing, but the more you're prepared, the less anxiety I think you're going to have, the less stress you're going to be, the less nerves you're going to have. And make sure that, you know, you inform others of your expectations, because sometimes you're expecting a thing, you haven't informed them, and you've sort of like, oh, what's this? But they don't know. They don't know probably for the attire, or they don't know, you know, that they had to bring an extra lead
or a mic stand,
you know?
Yeah.
Make sure that that's all out there. The expectation is that you need to bring your own stuff, or the expectation is bring something just as an extra, you know? I think that's very important. I think that's preparation in a nutshell.
Yeah.
All right, we'll leave it there. I think we'll call it there.
I think so.
thanks once again, everyone. Just wanted to mention We've got these lovely cakes here from sponsors Cake Eclipse. They're quite nice and lovely. We're gonna have them probably after we close off.
It sounds good. Look forward to it.
Yes, yes. CakeEclipse.com. And if you want, we've got a new handle, haven't we?
Oh,
on
yes.
Instagram.
We do.
We'll pop it up.
It's a bit hard to say.
Notice there's a few underscores there. But yes. That's fine. Strike a chord.
Strike_A_chord_podcast.
Podcast. That's the one. That's the one. So we'll pop that up again. And then this episode and the next following episodes will pop them up as well. But yeah, thanks, Amla.
Thank you, Valentino.
Till next time.
Take care.
Ciao. The Strike A Chord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.